it's time for me to be honest. It's not me, it's you. It's really you. No, hold on. I got a text message coming through. Actually, you know what? I gotta go. This date is over. I need to see Miss Marie.
You're listening to This Date Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie. Got the Baco in the studio. What's up, Baco?
Hey.
And we're coming to you live from the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. As you know, we are here each and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rocktheflow.com. So tell your friends about us. Here on This Date Is Over Radio, we discuss all things dating, the good, the bad, and in a lot of cases, the ugly, because dating can definitely be ugly at times. Hopefully, it won't be so ugly for me for much longer, but that's another story for another day. So, don't forget to check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover, Twitter and Instagram @dateisover. And we also have some cool t-shirts. Just go to the website, thisdateisover.com, get yourself a t-shirt. Our bestseller is It's Not Me, It's You. So check that out. Also, in some other news, I'm asking for you guys to find it in your hearts and your wallets, yes, your wallets, to support my Alzheimer's fundraising campaign. The walk is going to be on October 26th in Washington, D.C., and every year I do walk to, in the memory of my late grandmother and my Aunt Mary. It's Team M&M. It stands for Marjorie and Mary. I lost two of my favorite girls due to Alzheimer's disease. So anything that you can donate is greatly appreciated. The link is on the Facebook page, so go to facebook.com/thisdateisover. And unfortunately, I can't even walk this year. I got class on Saturdays.
You can't miss one day?
I'm going to see what I can do. Because a Saturday class is different from a class I got 2 days a week. They don't give you that much leeway. So I'm going to see what I can do and talk to my professor. I'm like, hey, Professor so-and-so, can I miss class? But anyways, I want to talk to you about tonight's topic, because if you have been paying attention on social media and on thisdateisover.com, you should know that tonight's show is a little bit controversial. It's called I Have an STD, Now What? Now, I chose this topic because we live in a very sex-crazed society, and I'm curious to know how people with incurable STDs navigate the dating scenes and have successful relationships. Now, we definitely have some special guests in the studio and on the line to discuss tonight's topic. However, I will introduce them after the break, because we're going to get into some new music. I got some Foreign Exchange up. And they have a new album out that just came out on Tuesday. And anybody who knows me knows that I love, love, love the Foreign Exchange. And I'm going to play the song called Better from their brand new album. It's called, the album's called Love in Flying Colors. And like I said, it came out on this past Tuesday. But keep in mind, you can give us a call if you want to chime in on tonight's topic. The number is 301-560-6992. 301-560-6992 is the number to the studio. Don't forget, you can tweet me @dateisover, and you can also hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover. So keep it right here on The Flow.
Yeah. it back. Yeah. Bring it back. Yeah. Hold up. If you know it, sing along with me. I used to feel like something was wrong with me. Big man, pimp hand, strong with me. And maybe love really ain't belong with me. Slowed it down, took a vow of matrimony. Who would have guessed it all ended in acrimony? Our eyes down, head bowed like we in service. Could you believe a man is to be a servant? Steady telling yourself that he deserve it. Then wonder why a nigga broke out like he allergic. But I ain't talking about a hive. I'm talking about the lives of those who can reach us. Turn your world around and then teach us. Soup for the soul and it feeds us. So light I can't do. I'm feeling brand new, fully loaded with features. A love that frees us, Jesus.
She's just better.
You're listening to The State Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie, alongside The Baco.
Yo.
And we are coming to you live from the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com. Just heard music from one of my favorite groups. The song was called Better by The Foreign Exchange. Get that album, Love and Flying Colors. It just came out this past Tuesday. Get it now, get it now, get it now. I'm not even getting paid to say that. Maybe I should stop promoting them. I'm not even getting paid to give them some shout outs. But anyways, tonight's topic is I have an STD, now what? And we have some special guests in the studio. We got Yada. He is a Maryland native, football coach, and accountant by trade, who is single and mingling. What's up, Yada?
Nothing much. What's up with you?
I need you to come just a little bit closer to your mic. Maybe I need to just turn it up. How about that? Try it again.
Nothing much. That's better?
Yes, that's better.
Good.
I got Janelle Marie on the line. Janelle, can you hear me?
Yep, sure can.
Okay. Janelle Marie is the founder and executive director of the STD Project, thestdproject.com. It's an award-winning independent website and progressive movement aimed at eradicating STD stigma by facilitating and encouraging awareness, education, and acceptance through storytelling and resource recommendations. Janelle Marie is also the STD expert for answers.com, a professional speaker, and an adjunct professor. Her ebook, The Relationship Survive. Can I read today? Oh my gosh. Slow down, Miss Marie. Let's try that again. And action. Her ebook, The Relationship Survival Guide to Living with an STD, will be available in December 2013. Hey, Janelle Marie.
Hey, Janelle.
Thank you for joining us.
Hi there. Hi, everyone.
And we got one more person. We got Dr. Equinzi Gray. Did I say that right? Is it Equinzi or Equinzi?
It's Equinzi.
Equinzi. I was wrong both times.
You know what? You were so close, though, that I just sit, smile with pride.
Equinzi Gray. Okay. He is a clinical psychologist licensed in Washington, D.C. He completed his master's and doctorate in clinical psychology at Howard University, graduating in 2005. And growing more and more with each passing day. In addition to being the Director of Research and Administration for the Howard University Counseling Service, he manages a small private practice, J.E. Gray & Associates, providing therapy, professional consultations, and presentations on various areas of psychology, all with the purpose of making it plain. He is the loving and lucky husband of Melinda Williams Gray and an aspiring musician who enjoys playing jazz and blues in his spare time. Welcome, Dr. Gray.
Thank you.
Jazz and blues, huh? So you're going to come back to the studio and play us a tune.
Hey, you know whenever you have me.
All right. We'll have you back. We will have you back.
I have a question.
All right. Go ahead, DeBaco.
You never read my bio.
Next show. Okay. We'll read your bio. You know, the next time. Next time. But I want to jump right into it. I want to start with the conversation with Janelle Marie, who is the founder of the STD Project, because Janelle Marie, if I'm not mistaken, you are currently living with an STD.
Yes, ma'am. I have been for 14 and a half years now.
Now, could you share with us, or are you open to sharing with us, the nature of your STD?
Yes, definitely. I have genital herpes, HSV type 2. Genital herpes can be HSV type 1, but is most prominently HSV type 2. Same thing as like cold sores, or similar anyways, and it reacts in a similar fashion. And yeah, I contracted genital herpes at 16 years old, and it is just recently, in the last year and a half since I launched the website, I've come out, quote-unquote, with my status, and am now an out person sharing my story about living with an STD, what that means, what that's meant for my social life, relationships in particular, dating and having sex, do I have sex, that kind of thing. I mm-hmm. write about that, and then provide a forum for people to share their stories.
Well, for starters, I want to say thank you for being so open to come on the show to begin with, because a lot of people are having a very difficult time, you know, sharing their situations or even just having the conversation about STDs in general. Even if they don't have an STD, they don't want to talk about it.
Oh, definitely. It's my pleasure, and you're so right. It's such a taboo subject. It's just people are freaked out about it, and some of the fear is understandable. No one wants something to go wrong in their genital area or with their sexual health, and then you couple that with the stigma and the fear of talking about sex, and then add a disease or infection on mm-hmm. top of that, and it's so fun for the hill. So yeah, it's not an easy subject to talk about, and you get a lot of different reactions when you start doing that. It's very rare for people to say.
Like, I can only imagine. Because the thing that I don't understand is, you know, we have, especially in the hip-hop community, like, you have all these songs of people talking about, I'm going to beat it up, I'm going to, you know, smack it up, flip it, rub it down, I'm going to put my face in it, lick her to sleep, but nobody wants to talk about the dark side of having sex, because these things can happen. So I don't know. I don't
like our kisses down low.
Right. Kisses down low. Say it again.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're breaking up just a little bit. So, Dr. Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you have to deal with this. I'm just assuming, so I could be wrong. Like, is this a regular occurrence, you having, you know, clients who are talking about dealing with or dating with an STD, or how their lives have changed?
It's not exactly a regular occurrence, and for that I'm thankful. Mm-hmm. But I think part of it is not everybody's willing to talk about it, and they still have issues even coming in an office like mine, where it's, you know, a safe place, there's no judgment, but still putting some of their business out there, you know. So depending on the nature of our relationship, but as time goes on, they do open up. And I have worked with some folks who, in the course of our work together, this became an issue, and their challenge was, what do I say? How do I, you know, the anxiety that they had just around, like, I'm waiting for the test results, and I need to know how this is going to affect the relationship that I'm in, or if they're still out dating, like, how do I tell people? When do I tell people? How do I deal with the anxiety, the fear, the shame, the judgment, the depression, and just all of that? So, you know, we try to deal with
it. I mean, I can only imagine what a person has to deal with who's in that situation, because I know I would be absolutely, positively depressed about that. And, I'm going to have to hold that thought, because we got to go to commercial. I was like, it's commercial already? It's time for commercial. So hold that thought. We'll be right back. Keep it right here on The Flow.
Service that I've ever used before.
Verizon Wireless is head and shoulders above the others.
It's the best network, no question about it.
Without a doubt, they are the number one network.
You heard it, and people all over know it. Verizon Wireless is America's best, most reliable wireless network. Maybe that's why more people stay with us than with any other national carrier. Just listen.
It's reliable, it's always been great. I started with Verizon Wireless from day one, and I've never thought about going anywhere else.
I'll never switch. I'll never leave Verizon Wireless. It's awesome.
We spend over $4 billion a year on our wireless network. All so that you get the most reliable national coverage.
They have the most reliable network.
Their coverage area is huge.
It's reliable. It's the best. It's definitely the best.
Isn't it time you switched to America's number one wireless network? Isn't it time you got the best? Just stop by any Verizon Wireless communication store, Verizon Wireless at Circuit City, or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. Network claims based on Verizon Wireless reliability studies. Loyalty claims based on publicly available customer turnover figures.
Verizon Wireless, number one. Hands down, no contest.
Dimes are shiny and round. Nickels are also round.
This 28-year-old woman may sound a little strange to you and me, but to her 3-year-old daughter, she makes perfect sense.
Pennies are round, too.
They are. Dollars are rectangles.
I like dollars.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of the same songs every 20 minutes?
Now here's something else we might try.
Real Radio is back. Right here on the...
At this hour of the day, but in the morning the sun would seem a lifetime away.
You're listening to The State Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie, coming to you live from the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com. Make certain you tweet me at Date Is Over. Hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover. And you can also follow me on Instagram at Date Is Over. We also got The Baco in the studio.
Hey.
We got Dr. Gray.
How you doing?
We got Yada.
What it do?
And we have Janelle Marie on the line. Janelle, can you hear us? Or can you hear me at least?
Yes, ma'am. Sure can. At least I can hear you.
Okay. So you can't hear anybody else?
No, I can hear that people are talking, but I don't know what anyone's saying or if anyone's responding to me or just having a new conversation.
Well, I will feed you what they're saying as best I can. We're going to make it work as best we can. So you said that you were 16 years old when you contracted herpes. You said HSV type 2?
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Now, at what point did you realize something was wrong with your body and decide to get tested?
I have physical symptoms. Not everyone does. Some people are asymptomatic and never know that they have HSV and can transmit it to others. But I am a typical presenter in that I get the normal blisters that look kind of just like you see a cold sore on someone's mouth. That's just on my genitals instead, and that's how it presents for me. So I knew something was wrong because something felt wrong. I didn't know what it was, though. At 16 years old, I don't know, I was thinking all sorts of things. It certainly didn't occur to me that it could be an STD. I come from a small country town, and in my mind, that was just something that different people or other people had to worry about. I was so naive, and I was on birth control, so I thought I was being responsible. I didn't want to get pregnant and be a teenager that was pregnant in high school. So mm-hmm. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm on top of things. And yeah, so for me, it was the physical signs, and I finally had to go in and get diagnosed and was diagnosed physically via visual symptoms.
Wow.
And I actually didn't find out that it was HSV2 until just this past year when I got blood tested to determine which strain I had.
Can I ask what the difference is between the strains?
Yeah, there is some difference. HSV1, which is what is typically oral herpes, that is almost always above the waist, or I guess I should say not almost always, but a lot of times, and most typically is what you see as cold sores on people's mouths, and that is typically oral. HSV2 is typically genital. In terms of the strain itself and transmittability, that kind of thing, they're almost identical. They behave similarly. They have blisters is how they present, typically that are painful and or itchy. And both of them can be asymptomatic, which means that you don't actually get the blisters, the what are called breakouts or outbreaks, but you can still transmit them to others. So in all kind of layman senses, both strains of HSV are very similar, but one is typically oral and above the waist, and one is typically genital and below the waist. And by genital, that can be anywhere on the genitals. It can be vaginal, anal, that kind of thing, all over.
Wow. So what are some of the misconceptions that you believe people have about people with STDs? Because when I was doing some research and like putting polls out on like our Facebook page and our group and other groups that I'm involved in, a lot of people saying, well, oh, that's just nasty. They're nasty, or you know, they need to stay far away from me, and they're dirty, and this, that, and the other. So what kind of things have you experienced, I guess, you know, when you started with the STD project?
Yeah, that's the main one, really, that I think is that the people who have STDs, STIs and STDs, sexually transmitted infections and diseases, are dirty, nasty, they're slutty, trashy, they sleep around, they, I don't know, cheat on people, they're just bad or something. That's really the misconception, and that's the number one myth that I hear, is that it's just horrible. But then when you think about the statistics and you realize that half of all people will contract an STI or STD before the age of 25, and then the number gets bigger, when we're talking about HPV, by the age of 50, 80% of all women will have contracted an HPV infection at some point in time. HPV infections, though, can go away on their own, so that would have been, you know, they either have one then or have had one at some point in time. So the numbers are really high. So there's no way that 50% by the age of 25 or 80% of all women are sluts and whores and dirty people. Mm-hmm. So it's just illogical. It's just that people aren't aware of how prevalent they are, because a lot of STIs and STDs are entirely asymptomatic. So the only way to know is to get tested. So your neighbor, your librarian, your teacher, your best friend very well may have or have had one, but of course it's nothing that's talked about.
I'm going to talk about that. Because you know, as I said earlier, it's a lot of people who are even afraid to have the discussion. And you know, we have Yada here in the studio, who is single and mingling. Thanks, Yada, for joining us. But actually, I was supposed to have another gentleman in the studio, but he kind of got scared off, and he said that he didn't want people to think that he had an STD, and he didn't want to have to deal with the so-called backlash of his friends asking him why he came on the show talking about STDs. Right. I'm just like, aren't you a man, number one, and number two, you don't have an STD, so what's the big deal? Number three, clearly you have raw sex because you have a child, so you are hitting it raw and not using protection, so you are putting yourself at risk of having an STD, so that's all the more reason why we need to have this discussion.
Totally, and what's a shame, I think, is that we don't have I want to create a paradigm shift, and what I mean is that the people who are talking about it should be the people who are considered as being responsible and sexually healthy, because they're aware of their risk, they're conscientious, they're wanting to be preventative, and they're in the know. They're not just going around doing things frivolously and without any kind of care for their body, and just like the misconception, banging anything that walks, you know? So they're actually saying, hey, no, wait, let's talk about this. It's the opposite way. That's just socially right now, it's not acceptable. Even when I launched the website, a lot of friends and stuff didn't necessarily want to talk about it or support the webpage.
Wow.
Right away. People are now, because they're seeing people get on board, but it took a little while for that to take effect, because everyone doesn't want to be associated. If we're talking about it at all, then maybe people are going to think the reason we support it is because we're one of those people, and that must mean we're bad, and people are going to make some assumption about us. And when it's, I have so many messages now from people I know, people I graduated with. Every day they pour in, like, oh, I was
in
this happen to me, and, you know, they have no one to talk to.
Well, I know, DeBaco, you had a question?
I have two questions for you, Janelle. One is, did you lose any friends when you came out that you're living with this STD or STI?
That's a great question. Yeah, actually I did. I had a friend who had actually been affected by an STD. She had had genital warts, and she said kind of through the grapevine that, you know, I kind of see what she's doing, but why does she need to talk about it? Just because she had herpes doesn't mean she needs to talk about it. Nobody needs to know. And she was, I guess she just didn't really understand, or was more afraid of what I was trying to do and that I was having this conversation. And I think a lot of it was she was stigmatizing herself because she had been in that situation, and that happens, because even like for a while when I first contracted genital herpes, I thought, I must be trashy, I must be a slut, I must be a whore, because that's what everyone says, you know? So I'm a crappy person, I'm being punished by God, and you know, this is my karma or something, which this is all ridiculous. In hindsight, I know better now. But, yeah, I did lose a bit of friends, especially early on, too. Like, my teenage years, I had girlfriends who I opened up to and shared. And at that time, this was, like, my deepest, darkest secret.
Right. Oh, my God.
I was terrified of anyone knowing, but I felt like I needed to tell someone. So I told one of my best friends. She proceeded to tell every single guy who was ever interested in me.
Oh, wow. No.
Yeah, and I didn't know about it. And
that's
I hear about
so
it later,
traumatic.
The guys would approach me like, hey, yeah. So-and-so's saying this about you. You know, ooh. I'm really interested. Like, let's hook up. And, like, it didn't stop guys from approaching me. They kind of thought this chick was crappy as a result of it. But still, it was just, I was mortified. I was made to sleep on the floor during slumber parties because the girls... They told each other behind their back, and they thought that they would contract my disease if I slept in the same bed with them.
Wow.
I mean, oh, it was horrible for a while. So, yeah, and it's so silly because people think you can contract herpes from a toilet seat, which isn't true. And that's, you know, it's again, these are misconceptions and things. It's just a lack of education. And in a sense, I have to look back on it and not be hateful or angry at these people because I was ignorant as well. It's just a huge lack of education because no one is talking about this situation.
Wow.
No one's talking about their sexual health
by way of
infections and diseases and what the real risk is.
That brings up so many questions. Like everything you said has brought up so many questions. I want to go back to asking you what I initially wanted to know, like your response to the person that gave it to you because you were 16, and I'm assuming that you guys had been in a relationship since you were on birth control. So what was that interaction like with that person after the fact?
Yeah, I actually don't know who it was. I have an idea of who it might have been. I was in between partners at the time, and at the time I was mortified and didn't have the gumption or I think the self-respect and confidence to approach anyone. I was so mortified and embarrassed and shameful about the situation that I never went back to verify was it you or was it you, and so I didn't have that conversation.
Okay.
In hindsight, I wrote about this. Actually, I wrote a post about, am I angry at the person who gave it to me? First of all, I'm not entirely certain who gave it to me, and then second, some of it is I'm culpable as well. I wasn't responsible. I didn't know it at the time. I was ignorant. And I think that we should take responsibility for our sexual health. And the people who get an STI or STD often play the victim, like somebody was a total bastard and they cheated or they tell me or blah, blah, blah. And everybody becomes this horrible ogre of an individual when we have to take responsibility for our own sexual health. I wasn't doing everything I could to be proactive. I didn't have the information I needed, so that was part of it, was just ignorance. And I was being sexually active without all of the right information. I was probably either too young or just ignorant and didn't have enough information. And had I had that, then I may have made different decisions. I don't know. It's hard to look back on that. But I'm not actually mad. You know, I'm not like, it was that person's fault and they lied to me.
I'm glad you're not mad because I would have been upset. I mean, everybody's different. I know I would have been upset.
Up and on.
So I want to pass the floor to Dr. Gray. So let's say, you know, 16-year-old Janelle Marie comes to your office and she's like, you know, I have herpes. I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. What advice would you give to her, 16-year-old Janelle Marie, if she was one of your clients?
Well, psychologists don't give advice.
Oh, excuse me. I don't know what
process with you.
I don't. What process would you go through? Okay, excuse my lack of understanding of the psychological process.
Oh, so I got to summarize the entire process in 30 seconds or less.
Right.
Well,
can you do it in like 15?
I do what I can. obviously, if she were to come in, it's like, okay, well, so you meet with your doctor. So what are you doing to kind of manage your own health?
Mm-hmm.
But then let's really talk about, you know, what you're feeling. You know, the fears and anxieties that you're having about how this is going to affect your social life. I mean, as a teenager. Because right now we know we live in this day and age where there's a lot of misunderstanding,
mm-hmm.
a lot of bullying, and you know people just want to tease and go after. It's like,
right, because like she was bullied. You know, they made her sleep on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Like they wouldn't let her sleep next to them in the bed. So it's like you can't make somebody understand your situation or accept you.
But you can try to engage support and you can try to educate. And I think that's part of where shows like this, or even just you know having teachers or family members, or even tapping into people that have celebrity status,
mm-hmm.
that can talk about it and get the conversation going so that we can really reduce some of the ignorance and misconceptions.
Right, and a lot of celebrities should get involved in this matter. I mean, like Magic Johnson, you know, he's like the poster child for STDs, but you don't really hear anybody else coming out and talking about it. Why is that? But hold that thought, because we have to go to break. So keep it right here on the flow. Give us a call. The number is 301-560-6992. 301-560-6992 is the number to the studio. You can tweet me at Date Is Over, and you can hit us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover. So keep it right here on the flow.
Coming up next is a really funny guy. You all know him. Let's give it up for Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo!
So my uncle calls and he says he's dizzy and he's losing his balance. I'm like, Unc, you want me to take you to a doctor? He's like, no, I'm going to look up the symptoms. I said, your symptoms are you're dizzy and you're losing your balance. So he said, I can't get on the internet because my arm is numb. I said, well, use your good arm and dial 911.
Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of stroke, don't call family, don't dial a friend, don't wait because it might be too late. Dial 911. Time lost is brain lost. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Kendall, and you are listening to This Date Is Over Radio with my auntie, Miss Marie, right here on the flow.
Listening to This Date Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie. Got the Baco in the studio.
Yo.
And we're coming to you live from the I Am for Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com. Make certain you check us out each and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on The Flow. We got Dr. Gray in the studio.
Hey, hey.
We got Yada. Oh, wait. I didn't cut your mic back on.
Oh, there
I'm
going to
get it together today. So try it again. Yada.
What's up?
And we have Janelle Marie on the line.
Hi there.
Now, I want to pass the floor to you, Yada, because okay. You're single and mingling.
Yes.
So let's say, you know, you out on the prowl and you meet a woman and you really like her and y'all start going out, spending like, you know, a couple months together and it's time to get intimate. And she says, you know what, Yada, I really like you. I care about you a lot, but I have herpes. What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, at that point, all pursuit of sexual activity is going to come to a halt. For me,
it's gonna come to a halt for you.
It's gonna come to a halt for me.
Why?
Because I'm not gonna go further knowing that I could contract something that I'm gonna have to live the rest of my life with. Unless I'm gonna live the rest of my life with her, but you can't know that after 2 months.
Well, you mean, but if you develop feelings and you see it going in the right direction, you know, I mean, everything else is in your favor as far as like she's beautiful, she's smart, she has a great job, she has her own home, she doesn't have children, so she has all these things in the great factor. She has a great personality, she's funny. The only thing that she has that may not be so pleasant is she has herpes.
I mean, we would have to see, though. I mean, 2 months is a short time. You know?
2 months? Really? People don't even wait 2 months to have sex nowadays. Let's be real.
Let's say 6 months. Let's say 6 months. You guys have abstained. She's abstained for that reason. She hasn't told you that, but you guys have just been dating. You've gotten really to the point of wanting to be in a relationship with her exclusively, and then she hits you with the boom.
I mean, we can still hang out. We can still do things together, but just
romantically,
all pursuit of,
would you be romantic?
All pursuit of sexual activity is going to have to come to a halt right there when she tells me.
Would she be placed in the friend zone now?
Pretty much.
She's going to be in the friend zone. So I want to ask Janelle Marie about that. Were you able to hear Yada?
Yeah, I did.
So he said...
Yada, your comment is typical. That's totally cool, and I get where you're coming from. What's interesting about what you have to say is what 99.9% of people say until they're in the relationship with that person. Interestingly enough, I've dated my fair share of men. I've been married before, and I've not had a single partner ever want to not be in a relationship with me because of that. Now, that's not always the case for everyone. Other people have had rejection as a result of disclosing their status, and I think it really depends on the relationship. Like you said, like, it would depend if I wanted to spend my life with that person. Do I want to risk something that's going to be with me for my life if I don't know for sure that I want to be with this individual? And that's really the question. And nowadays, we don't do that. Everyone, like, I don't know, I feel like 3 or 4 dates is a long time for people to wait to start sleeping with somebody. People sleep
right
with people right on the first time that they've met them before
right.
They've had detailed conversations and even know their birthday, you know?
Yeah, what's your last name again?
I wonder if that's the problem.
I think his name was Steve. I don't know.
I mean, I think that's a huge problem. I don't,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no. So Yada's response is totally typical. I mean, that's what everyone's going to say. And that's understandable. Your body is intimate in your own personal space. And to have that potentially negated by an infection, a disease, nobody, I don't even want the flu or a cold, you know. If you told me you're sick, I'd be like, let's wait. I don't even want to kiss you, you know.
Right.
So, of course, that's a natural response, and it's a totally cool response, and that's okay to say that. It's not, you know, it's not offensive or anything like that, because until you want to potentially take that risk, if the risk is worth it, like my boyfriend likes to say, the juice is worth the squeeze for him. So
The juice is worth the squeeze.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that one.
You know, I can never say never, mm-hmm. but I feel very similar to Kenyatta mm-hmm. about the situation. So I want to know from you, Ms. Janelle Marie, what, because yes. how do you, like, what's the, I don't know how to put it. So you can have this disease and not spread it, correct? Like, can you break that down for me? Because I just don't believe, I don't know how I believe or what I feel about that, mm-hmm. but can you give me more knowledge
yeah.
or information?
Yeah, for sure. Well, interestingly enough, if somebody already has cold sores, they probably have the HSV-1 virus, which mm-hmm. is really prevalent, like 80% of people or some. I don't have the number right in front of me, but it's around that high of a number. That means your risk is slim, very, very slim to contract another strain of the infection. So that's a potential as a positive. And or somebody already may have it and not know it. A lot of people are asymptomatic and have the strain. So 1 in 5 people have HSV-2. So that's something to consider. But if you don't have HSV-1 or 2, you have no HSV, no herpes whatsoever, no cold sores, and you would like to avoid it at all costs, if I could get rid of mine, I still would, even though I'm okay with it now. You can do things like the risk of transmitting the virus is way low when there is not an active outbreak. However, there's what's called viral shedding. So even when there isn't like an active outbreak, if you're not if you don't present like I do typically with the normal blisters, you can still potentially shed the virus. So then you can take an antiviral, like you can take what's called suppressive therapy, and that means you're constantly on a medication. It's like a one pill a day kind of thing, and that reduces the transmission risk as well. Percentages then are very low, and there's statistics on this and such that are related. If you're on an antisuppressant or an antiviral and you're on suppressive therapy, the risk of transmission is very, very low. And then, of course, using things like lots of lube to reduce the friction. Lube should be everybody's best friend. If it isn't,
oh, really?
Make it
lots of lube. I would have thought it the other way around. A slip and slide.
No, slippery slope. I'm learning stuff. Risk of transmission. So for all STIs and STDs, it reduces your risk of transmission because the friction is what...
It makes sense.
The friction, like small cuts and tears and all sexual activity as a result of excessive friction. So the less friction, at least the more the barrier and the more that you can help lubricate, the better off you are.
Wow.
So
I have a question for you.
Of course, you can use barriers.
So I put out a survey for people to fill out, just an anonymous STD survey, and a lot of everybody on the that took the test said they have protected sex, but they don't have protected oral sex, and I was a little confused by that. But before you answer the question, I want to we got to go to break, of course, but I want you to think about that. Why don't people use protection during oral sex, but they use protection when they have intercourse, if they have an STD? Because everybody on the list said, no, I don't use any type of protection when I have oral sex with a partner. So I was a little confused by that. So we'll talk about that after the break. So Janelle, keep that on your brain, and we will talk about that. But keep in mind, you guys can give us a call. The number to the studio is 301-560-6992. 301-560-6992 is the number to reach me in the studio. You can tweet. I can cut my mic off. Doing too many things at once. Oh my God. Excuse me. But yes, you can tweet me at Date Is Over. You can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover. And don't forget to check out the website, thisdateisover.com, and post your bad date stories and relationship tidbits and woes. So keep it right here on the flow.
Service at our I've ever used before.
Verizon Wireless is head and shoulders above the others.
It's the best network, no question about it.
Without a doubt, they are the number one network.
You heard it, and people all over know it. Verizon Wireless is America's best, most reliable wireless network. Maybe that's why more people stay with us than with any other national carrier. Just listen.
It's reliable. It's always been great. I started with Verizon Wireless from day one, and I've never thought about going anywhere else.
I'll never switch. I will never leave Verizon Wireless. It's awesome.
We spend over $4 billion a year on our wireless network, all so that you get the most reliable national coverage.
They have the most reliable network.
Their coverage area is huge.
It's reliable. It's the best. It's definitely the best.
Isn't it time you switched to America's number one wireless network? Isn't it time you got the best? Just stop by any Verizon Wireless communication store, Verizon Wireless at Circuit City, or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. Network claims based on Verizon Wireless reliability studies. Loyalty claims based on publicly available customer turnover figures.
Verizon Wireless, number one. Hands down, no contest.
Dimes are shiny and round. Nickels are also round.
This 28-year-old woman may sound a little strange to you and me, but to her 3-year-old daughter, she makes perfect sense.
Pennies are round, too.
They are. Dollars are rectangles.
I like dollars.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of the same songs every 20 minutes?
Now here's something else we might try.
Real Radio is back. Right here on the flow. Brought to you by Alumni Roundup. And brought to you by the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network.
Oh, I just can't stop thinking about your love.
You're listening to This Date Is Over Radio with your host, Miss Marie. Coming to you live from the IM for Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com. You just heard music from the Urban Knights. The song was Thinking About Your Love. And earlier we played some Curtis Mayfield. I forgot to tell you, you guys that earlier. And the song was Give Me Your Love. But we got the Baco in the studio. What's up, Baco?
Hey.
We got Dr. Gray.
What's going on?
We got Yada. Oh, why do I keep not cutting your mic on, Yada?
Well, you don't clearly, want me to talk
clearly
tonight.
I don't want you here tonight. Clearly, I don't. And we also have Janelle Marie on the line.
Hi there.
Hi. And before we went to break, Janelle Marie, I had a question, and that was about, you know, just oral sex. You know, I was saying I put out a poll or a survey, an anonymous STD survey, and everybody that responded said they do not have protected oral sex. So how do you, and please excuse if I'm getting too personal, but how does one have oral sex with an STD?
That's a great question, actually. No, most people don't use protection with oral sex. The misconception is that it's less risky, and it's a little less risky than vaginal or anal sex specifically, but there is still a risk, and that is often why people contract HSV-1, which is the oral kind of cold sores, genitally, because they were having unprotected oral sex. So someone who has cold sores, HSV-1, usually, is cold sores are usually HSV-1, so someone who has it on their mouth and goes down on someone, practices oral sex on a female or a male, can then transmit those to the genital area. And keep in mind, too, with HSV, one is typically oral and two is typically genital. And when they're in the opposite location, they're oftentimes a little bit more mild. But both forms can be really mild. Two-thirds of all people with any form of HSV either have no symptoms whatsoever or the symptoms are so mild they go unnoticed.
So HSV-1 is oral. And HSV-2 is genital.
Is genital. They share about 50% of DNA, and they react really similarly and kind of, in layman's terms, basically the same, but there are some differences DNA-wise and then, you know, how they behave. But, yeah.
So Yada has a question.
So is the oral, that's, you said that's one, right? Is that like the common cold sore?
Yes. I think that's...
Yep. Yeah, that's the common cold sore, and that's how a lot of people get HSV-1 genitally. And it used to be that people thought that there wasn't as many cases of HSV-1 genitally, but now that there is the blood testing that's more easily available, they are realizing that that's actually more common than they thought. So, and that's why, because people are having oral sex unprotected, and you certainly can have oral sex protected. It's just, I think people feel like it's weird or awkward or
impractical. Too much. See, I would think it would be too much work. Because I'm like, you know what? You have to get the dental dam or you got to put the condom on. But I'm like, hey, protect yourself.
Right.
I'm not concerned about the work.
Well,
it's just
who came up with
not
the
same.
Dental dam to begin with for oral sex?
Yeah, that's true. And Yada brought up a great point. He said he's not concerned about the work. He's concerned that it's not going to feel the same. But I hear that same excuse from guys when they put condoms on in gym, like, oh, it's not going to feel the same if I have the condom on. Does it feel that different with a condom?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My bad.
You have your answer.
Excuse my ignorance. I don't have a penis,
the
so
men
I don't
have
know.
Spoken.
The men have definitely spoken tonight. So, yeah. So.
The men say yes. But I would question, have you tried all different kinds of condoms, too?
What are the different kinds?
Last time you tried to compare?
I stick with one brand pretty much.
Oh gosh, don't even say it. Does it start with an M?
You already know what it is.
But, I swear, every black man thinks they are Magnum worthy. I've never seen your penis, Yada, so I'm not saying that you're not Magnum worthy. But a lot of guys, especially black men, think that they are Magnum extra large condom worthy.
If a lifestyle can fit over my water bottle,
a lifestyle can fit over your black penis. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm sorry. That was a little sidebar. Yeah.
Good. I mean, I only go with them because they don't they don't tend to break as much as any other.
They don't break as much. Do you not know how to put it on?
Oh, no. I know how to put it on.
He don't got no kids, so he probably know how
to put it on. Well, he knows how to put it on then. Bless you, Yada.
Well, remember what I was saying about lube earlier, that most people, too, a lot of times they don't enjoy the sensation with a condom on because they're not using them appropriately or they're not
they're not using them as effectively as they could, I should say. You put a little lube on the inside that's touching the genitals and lots of lube on the outside, and you'll find that the sensation is a whole lot different with lube. I love lube, so I'll talk about lube all night long if you let me.
Hey, I don't mind. You are teaching me some things, honey, so I must put that on the grocery list. I need eggs, bacon, and some lube.
Flavored lube for oral sex. There you go.
You can put,
you know,
wait.
An essential dam too. They're not easy to find, but you can use Saran wrap. And I know, again, like, who goes to the kitchen and pulls out some Saran wrap before they're about to go down on someone? You know,
shoot, I will now. Right? I will now, because nowadays, like,
worried, right?
Nowadays, you really don't know. It's like you think you know a person and you really don't. Like, case in point, my ex-boyfriend. I thought I knew him very well. We were supposed to get married. That dude had two chicks on the side that I found out about. Mm. And, you know, knock on wood, you know, I didn't contract an STD from that, but I very well could have.
Yeah, that's
very risky. I could have gotten, you know, I could have had the short end of the stick. You know, fortunately, it was just a broken heart, even though that wasn't very fortunate for me at the time. Mm-hmm. But it was a broken heart, but it could have been a lot worse. And there's a lot of people who are in that situation who get in these relationships thinking, you know, and marriages, like, hey, you know, I know my husband, I know my wife. Like, oh, but do you really? Do you really?
In that regard, then what do you say? I mean, when you're in a relationship, it's just boyfriend, girlfriend, you still need to get tested every 6 months, whatever the case may be, together, make it a date. I think that's important. But when you're married, people obviously stop using testing.
Right.
I mean, they stop using condom, they stop testing. Like, what do you say? And this is a question to everybody. Like,
well, I guess I'll pass it to Dr. Gray, because he's only married in the studio. So Dr. Gray.
Would you be offended if your wife was like, we need to get tested? Like,
Or like, hey, babe, I think we should use a condom, you know. But, you know, I would think that in that marriage, you know, dynamic, that you would feel some kind of way if your wife is asking you to use a condom.
You're right. But I think part of that goes back to the communication that was established in the relationship ahead of time, where, you know, we had that conversation, and it's one of the things I encourage my clients to do as well, which is have these uncomfortable conversations, because this is going to set the foundation for everything that you do from this point on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my wife and I, yes, we go to the doctor and it's like, look, go ahead and throw the test on there. It's no extra work. They draw on the same blood,
right?
Run that same test, and just, even though we know we are safe, we know, because, you know, we've been tested, you know, we dated for a few years,
mm-hmm.
got married. And it's still like, this is just good practice.
Yeah, it's very good practice too. Whenever I go to the doctor, I'm like, yes, test me. They like, for what? I said everything. Don't, yes, everything.
Cultures, blood,
test me.
Hair follicles, whatever you need.
Test me for everything. I want the results for everything, because, you know, I go often. So, yeah, I like to be safe. It's better to be safe than to be sorry. But, you know, it's the second hour of the show, which means it is time for Miss Marie's rant and rave. Yes, and find my paper here. I actually wrote something down.
She has notes.
I know.
Like,
I know, right? I never really have notes, but for some odd reason, I was babysitting. I shouldn't even say that was babysitting. That's terrible. I was watching I shouldn't say that either. I was chilling with my grandfather. He's 95, so I figured while I was over at the house, I might as well just take some notes and type some stuff. I was sitting with him. I said babysitting. He is an adult. And, you know, I had to fix him, you know, dinner and, you know, fix his plate and whatever. But I'm glad he's here. He's 95. He can't get around like he used to. So I got to help out my Snooki.
So you call it quality time. That's
quality time. Granted, my grandfather does not have, like, any type of conversation. So he's like, hey, how you doing? And the conversation's over. We don't talk about anything else. But anyways, in case you're just now tuning in, you are listening to This Date Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie. We also got the Baco in the studio.
Hello, Swirl World. What does he say? Hello,
Swirl People. That's a shout out to Wally. He usually is in the studio. Hello, he says, what's up, Swirl People?
Hello.
Right. But like I said, it's the second hour of This Date Is Over Radio, which means it's time for my rant and rave. And let me get to my notes here. Yeah, I must say that when I was doing research for this topic, that my eyes had been opened a whole hell of a lot. And I realized that a lot of us, myself included, need to have a lot more compassion for people with STDs, because at the end of the day, those of us without STDs have all dodged a bullet, especially if we are sexually active. You know, I'm pretty certain that some of us have already had sex with somebody with an STD and just don't know it. I would gather that we have. So nowadays we really don't know who is who, and I'm inclined to believe, like I said, that we have actually had sex with somebody that has an STD and we just didn't tell us. So for starters, don't be so quick to judge a person with an STD, because they could have been raped or sexually assaulted, got it at birth from a parent, gotten it from having sex with a dishonest partner, or regardless of how they got their STD, it doesn't make them nasty or less of a person. Because at the end of the day, no one sets out to get an STD. No one says, hey, you know what, I want to go have sex with Joe Blow and I want to get an STD. It doesn't work like that. Nobody says, I want to have an STD. So let's have a little bit more compassion, people. People with STDs, please be honest before engaging in sexual activity with another person. Understand that you might be ashamed or embarrassed, but that's no excuse to put someone else's health at risk. So to everyone overall, just be honest. Stop all that cheating nonsense. If you want to sleep around, let the person or people that you are dealing with know, because it is not fair to them. And lastly, everyone, please protect yourselves. Condoms are cheap and you can get them for free. Go to Planned Parenthood. I go there. They give out free condoms.
I have condoms for my job, so if you need some, come see me.
Yes, go to
Baker. And lube. I have a lot of lube.
Well, I need to get some lube from you.
Me too.
So I don't have to go to the grocery store. So yes, go to Planned Parenthood in your state or town and get you some free condoms. You can also go to some of the infirmaries on these major college campuses. I'm inclined to say all college campuses. Yeah. You know, go to the nurse's office or the health center.
Yeah, better be there.
Yeah, right. And get you some condoms as well. So protect yourself, because the STD rates out here are staggering and on the rise, especially for black women. And Dr. Great, I don't know, do you have the results out, or that we were reading during the break?
We were looking at some.
Can you share some of the stuff that you came across with regard to statistics? And by the way, we have Dr. Gray in the studio along with Yada, and we have Janelle Marie on the line. So we're going to pass it to Dr. Gray, because he is going to tell us about some of the statistics that he came across with STD rates and whatnot in the United States.
Well, Baker and I were actually looking through some of these, and I think one of the things we were looking at was like the rates for chlamydia.
Unbelievable.
And the rates for black women. Now, this is per 100,000 population. The rates for black women was 1,563. The rates for, like, say, Asian Pacific Islander women, 164.3. That's almost 10 times.
I'm sorry, could you go back to the rate for African American women?
1,563 per 100,000.
Whoa.
For Asian Pacific Islanders, it was 164.3 per 100,000. That means the rate for black women was almost 10 times as much as it was for Asian and Pacific Islanders.
So what is the rate for Caucasian women?
232.7. So you're still talking about almost six times, mm-hmm. five to six times the rate in black women of chlamydia. And this was as of 2011.
Mm.
So, you know, it's
black
really kind
men
of ridiculous.
Also very high rates.
Yeah, and the other thing that contributes, especially in the black community, is...
There's so many things.
The down low epidemic in the black community. I don't know if you're familiar with that, Janelle Marie, but it's a lot of black men who don't want to identify themselves as homosexual. They'll date women and they'll lead a heterosexual lifestyle on paper, like in public, but in private they are sleeping with men and they're not letting their female partners know.
You know, I want to add to that. I don't know if it's necessarily all like the download situation.
I'm not
going to
say it's all.
I have no statistical information on this at all, but working in the criminal justice system, I know that a lot of men who go into jail,
yes,
who are, for whatever reason, have sex with men, whether it's forced or not forced, who don't identify as homosexual, come back and they have these women who are waiting for them and they are transmitting diseases that way. So I don't know if that's like down low, but a lot of times that happens, and that, you know, we put ourselves at risk when we don't ask these questions, especially people coming from the institution. Like, you need to ask, like, yo, we need to get tested.
Right.
Not saying you did something or somebody got you, but...
And that's my ignorance, because as soon as somebody I know goes to jail, or a guy, period, if he tell me that he was in jail, I'm going to ask him, like, did you have sex with a man? And that's probably so inappropriate for me to even ask him that.
He might steal you.
I might get punched right in the face, but I do ask, and I should not do that ever again.
In the context of the current conversation, though, that's not inappropriate at all. That's exactly what we're talking about, what you're saying.
See, but the timing was bad. Like, I don't think I should ask anybody about their sexual activities if I'm not going to have sex with them. So I don't think that's really my business to ask if he had sex with a man, and he had every right to curse me out, even though he didn't. But I was just very curious, and that was my ignorance. I'm like, okay, you were locked up for how long? And you know, I've seen, of course, when I said ignorance, just looking at TV, you see Oz and whatnot, even though that's probably, you know, I don't know how close it is. I've never been to jail. I don't know. I don't know anybody that's, you know, close to me that's been in prison besides one of my cousins, but he's no longer with us, so I can't ask him that question. So, you know, that's something I've definitely asked somebody who was locked up, like, you know, did you have sex with a man? But that definitely leads me to another question. And I'm going to ask you, Janelle Marie, when is a good time to let a person know that you have an STD?
Great question. I definitely, before you put the person at risk, and full disclosure, I've not always operated under that moral and ethical standard, because there was a time period that I was scared of rejection, didn't know how to have that conversation, and I put a couple of people at risk that I shouldn't have. And it's not an easy conversation to have if you are living with any kind of infection or disease, whether it's temporary or it is long-term, lifelong, like genital herpes is, or any other viral infection that's long-term. So definitely before putting them at risk. But I would say, I always advise people that it's something very personal to you, and it's about your sexuality, your body, so it's in your intimacy. You definitely don't necessarily have to tell someone on the first date. No one discloses everything on the first date.
No.
So they have toe fungus.
It's not their business on the first date.
You don't know my birthday on the first date.
Right. You don't even know my last name on the first date. You don't even know where I live on the first date. So you're not going to know what's going on in my bedroom. And if you're trying to ask me, the date is over.
Right.
This date is all the way over.
Unless you're having sex on the first date.
Right.
Right. And if you're putting someone at risk on the first date, then maybe that's something else to take a look at. And you need to address that situation. Why are you getting involved in that kind of way and without having a conversation? Because what people always think about is the person with the STD is a bad guy. You're putting someone at risk. But what they're not aware of is when you already have an STD, you're at a higher risk of contracting additional STDs.
Right.
Wow.
So you're also putting yourself at additional risk. So you're putting yourself in harm's way again and further complicating the issue. And that a lot of times is just because your self-esteem is poor, you feel crappy about yourself, and that's really where I was when I was doing that. So, yeah, please have that conversation. If you want to be moral and ethical and feel responsible and do the right thing, then you have to have that conversation before you start engaging in any kind of sexual activity.
Yeah, I agree with that, because that's the same thing. I'm trying to go through Facebook, and that's the same thing when our friends to the show, Brandon, said that, you know, you don't need to let somebody know right away. You know, you have that discussion when, you know, before sex is going to take place. There's no need to really disclose your business like that. And he said, get to know somebody organically.
Right. And there's two schools of thought. Right. And there's two schools of thought that way. Some people who have STIs and STDs prefer to put it out on the table right away. Like, here's my big issue, take it or leave it, because they'd rather not start investing their heart and their emotions as well and then be rejected and have started to find interest in an individual and then be hopeful and that kind of thing. So there's that approach, but then, you know, when you have to, certainly doesn't have to be right away if you're not comfortable sharing that information, because that is very personal. And what if they would tell somebody else, or maybe you're in a close social circle and you don't want them to tell other people, you know, or something like that, you know?
But yeah, I feel like a lot of people nowadays are not, they're not private, you know, especially with social media and screenshots. You know, people are so quick to post a screenshot. I know I've done it before. Not, you know, I didn't put the person's name or nothing out there. But people will put your business on the street in a heartbeat. And, you know, if I was in that situation and I had an STD, and, you know, I wouldn't know when to tell a person. Because, of course, you would tell them in the beginning and let them decide for themselves if they want to get to know you. But at the same time, it's like, well, I want him to get to know me for me, you know, as a person, not my STD, you know, because I am not, you know, HPV. I'm not herpes. I'm, you know, who I am. So, you know, it's I could only imagine how, you know, a person deals with that, because I think somebody without an STD, you know, if they're dating somebody for a while and then they're getting ready to get intimate, and the person discloses, hey, I have an STD, they're going to feel like, well, you kind of duped me. You didn't tell me this in the beginning, so now I feel some kind of way about you.
It sounds to me like part of this is this idea around dating and how everybody's trying to move so fast.
Right.
Like, it's all about how quickly can we get into bed, when in actuality, dating is supposed to be a getting to know you process, and that takes time. So if we have the paradigm shift where people are actually willing to slow down and have some of the conversations, get to know you, and say, well, this is somebody that is cool, or this is somebody I want to date, this is somebody I want to actually have a relationship with, then it creates more opportunities to have these conversations. But as long as people are getting this influence, feeling the pressure either from friends, from music, from whatever, to say, well, just how quickly can you get into bed, then a lot of these conversations don't happen.
Yeah, and I'm like, how do we start that conversation though, Dr. Ray? Because like you said, people aren't talking, and people definitely aren't dating. Like, it's this mad dash to the bedroom, and you know, before you know my last name, well, before you know my address, like, you know, how do you slow things down? It's everybody wants everything now, not now, but they want it right now. You know, it's that instant gratification. You know, we live in this 24-hour news cycle. Like, oh, so and so did this. I'm like, girl, that was yesterday. That's old news. So it's like, how do you slow things down and develop that courtship and friendship with a person?
You know, as funny as it sounds, it's about each person kind of saying, I'm going to be an individual. Right. I'm going to date the way I believe is right.
Mm-hmm.
And not do it just because, well, this is how, you know, Miley Cyrus or Drake or whomever is dating and how they're getting down. It's like, I'm going to take my time because I know that I'm important. My health is important. And the person that I want to spend time with is important. And I feel like I should be able to do that without, you know, everybody else chiming in and having a say on what happens in my life,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in my bedroom.
Because guys, you know, be like, oh, you've been out with her how many times? 5 times. And you ain't hit it yet?
And that's where a guy has to have a strong ego and say, yeah, I did not hit it yet, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, what's going on.
So Yada, I'll pass it to you, because you're single and mingling. So what do your friends say to you? Like, dang, Yada, you've been with this chick for how long? Did you hit it yet?
I mean, I don't really get asked that question a whole lot, but even if I was, I probably wouldn't tell them. I mean, I'm not the type that's kiss and tell, and I guess my friends kind of know that, but I'm not
it's so many dudes that are kissing and telling
business around town. Like,
see Ray J, I hit it first.
He's whack.
But it's somebody like on my Instagram timeline that posted some post about some chick, and he labeled her as bad head game, and like posted a conversation they had on Instagram. It's like, okay,
he's whack.
Yeah, he's like, very whack.
Whack. I think a lot of times for women, and I'm not, you know, saying all women, but I found that from my conversations with my friends, it's like a pressure. Like, you feel like you don't want to lose the person,
mm-hmm.
and if you wait too long, and he's gonna lose interest, or he's not gonna stick around because he forget it from someone else. Because, you know, there's all these available women in DC,
especially in DC.
So if I don't give it to him, then he's gonna give it to someone else, and then you end up rushing into doing this that you might not be ready to do, but you want to keep this guy from partaking in another.
Well, let me give you a flip side of that, though, because a lot of guys feel the pressure of, if they're out with a woman, you know, second, third date or whatever, and they're not trying to make a move, they're taking it slow, then the woman is like, well, what's wrong? Are you gay? And it's like, nah, maybe I'm just trying to get to know you.
You know what? Speaking of that.
Actually, could you hold that thought? Because we have to go to commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, so hold that thought, Tobago. So we will be right back. Give us a call. The number is 301-560-6992. You can tweet me and hit me up on Instagram at DateIsOver, and go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thisDateIsOver. So keep it right here on The Flow.
Coming up next is a really funny guy. You all know him. Let's give it up for Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo!
So my uncle calls and he says he's dizzy and he's losing his balance. I'm like, oh, you want me to take you to a doctor? He's like, no, I'm going to look up the symptoms. I said, your symptoms are you're dizzy and you're losing your balance. So he said, I can't get on the internet because my arm is numb. I said, well, use your good arm and dial 911.
Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of stroke, don't call family, don't dial a friend, don't wait because it might be too late. Dial 911. Time lost is brain lost. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. a public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm Kendall, and you are listening to This Day Is Over Radio with my auntie, Miss Marie, right here on the flow.
Listening to This Day Is Over Radio right here on The Flow, coming to you live from the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network. on rocktheflow.com with your host, Miss Marie. Emma got the Baker in the studio. What's up, the Baker?
Hello, hello, hello.
We got Dr. Gray.
Hey, hey.
We got Yada.
What it do?
And we have Janelle Marie on the line. What's up, Janelle?
What's happening?
Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to take the time so you can tell everybody how to reach you. What's your social media contact and your website and whatnot, Janelle Marie?
Oh, sure, yeah. The website is thestdproject.com. We're on Twitter at thestdproject. We're also on Facebook, The STD Project on Facebook. Yeah, you can find us pretty much anywhere. Pinterest, Google Plus, I'm all over the place.
So all you have to do is, if you don't even remember anything, just Google the STD Project and you will find her. So what about you, Dr.
Yes,
Gray?
Ma'am.
How can people get in contact with you? If they need help, you know, need somebody to talk to, need some advising. I don't know what the term is. What is it that...
Counseling.
Counseling and therapy. How can they get in contact with you?
Well... my business runs a little bit differently, so Psychology Today profile, I'm on there, obviously. If they want to try and catch me through Twitter, at J.E. Gray, Ph.D., or website, lighten-the-mind, lightenthemind@.blogspot.com.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and put that on my... Yeah, I'm going to post all that on my Facebook page, because I know I'm not going to remember that.
Lighten-the-mind.
What you just said.
I send it to you.
Yes,
you'll
send it to me, and I'll put it all on the Facebook page. Okay,
gotcha.
I'll put that on there. So, going back to the conversation, I know the Baker, you had a question before we were going to break.
I had a comment because we were talking about bollocks.
Was it about your friend?
Yes, but what were we talking about before that brought it up? bollocks. Anyway. So I have
about giving it up. And
giving it up. Okay, so feeling like they need to give it up, right, to get some sort of love. I have a friend who the guy she's dating wants to wait to abstain for a certain, you know, just to get to know her and develop a relationship and foster a relationship. And she's like outraged about it. Like, she wants to have sex with this person, and she's upset that he doesn't want to have sex with her. And, you know, as a friend, I'm trying to be nice about how I put this, but to me it just seems crazy because, one, I don't think they've gotten tested. You know, they've only been dating for like a month or so they haven't gotten tested. And two, someone's trying to foster a relationship with you, but you're rushing into sex. This is one that a lot of people do, and that leads to people transmitting STDs because you're rushing into having sex and you're not getting tested, you don't know your status. And two, how does the relationship last when you don't know anything about the person, but you just want to sleep with them? That was my scenario that had come up.
Yeah, but that seems to be the nature of a lot of relationships today, which is unfortunate. Like, we rush into the bedroom before we know anything about that person, and after a couple of months, or maybe like the day after, you realize that you really don't like that person.
Right.
Like, yeah, and because maybe the sex was bad, and then maybe you found out something about their character or lack thereof that turned you off, and you're like, damn. I know I've been in a situation like, you know what, maybe I wish I could unscrew you. Like, maybe I wish we did not get together because you are dumb as a pile of bricks. Like, that has definitely happened to me. Like, I met this guy, thought he was great, and, you know, we got intimate, and after a while, like, after we went out, I was like, damn, he's boring. Like, he's a loser. Well, like, I did not like him. I was like, you know what, I think we should not talk, like, ever again in life. Like, that's how it was. But that seems to be happening. Like, we're so, you know, inclined to have sex and want to have that gratification sexually that we forget about the emotional gratification or the mental gratification or intellectual. Because, you know, I've met a lot of gorgeous men, but after we started talking, I'm like, damn, he's too stupid, and I can't even go there.
At least you saved yourself some heartache.
I know. Yeah, I think a lot of people save themselves some heartache if they waited. I remember I was talking to one of my guy friends, and I was telling him maybe I should wait till marriage. And he was like, ain't nobody going to marry you. And no guy is going to wait to have sex till marriage. So I was like, damn. So what do you think about that, Yada? Do you think you could actually wait till marriage to have sex with somebody?
Yeah, I think I could.
Bless you.
I mean,
I don't even know if I could.
Side eye. Look at the side eye.
Like, right.
Side eye.
I mean, of course you're going to look at me with a side eye because I'm a man. But no, I think I could. I mean, I almost did. I mean, it didn't work out, but...
I was really on the way to doing it, so that's why I think wow. I could.
Bless you. Okay. Five. If I could reach your hand, bam.
Somebody marry that man.
Yes, ladies. He is single in England. Kids. He don't have any kids.
Will abstain.
He has two jobs. So give us a call.
What's the dating profile?
301-560-6992 is the number to the studio. Don't be shy. You can give us a call because, you know, Yada is here. He's single.
We're going to post a picture up on Instagram.
It's already up. I'm so sorry. It is already up. I didn't even get your approval, so.
No, I mean, I don't even have Instagram, so.
Oh, dang. Well, he's on there.
He got to tag me on Facebook,
the green
though,
shirt. So. Right. Yes, on the Instagram page, at Date Is Over. So I'm going through my list of questions here. So, Dr. Gray, like, what advice would you give to someone with an STD who wants to date?
Without giving direct advice, but talking to them about, you know, their reasons for
it. How would you counsel them? I'm sorry, I keep using the wrong terminology.
That's all right. I mean, I would encourage them, obviously, that, you know, to remind them that the life isn't over just because they have an STD.
Right. But yes, life is not over, everybody. Your life is not over. Everybody's going to die eventually, so your life is not over.
Yeah, it just means that they have to approach things a little bit differently. They may have to be a bit more discerning about who they're going out with and the purpose of going out and, you know, how they handle that conversation. Just the idea of slowing down and really getting to know the other person and letting the other person get to know them to establish, like, is this somebody even want to be vulnerable with?
Right.
And that would be the counsel that I offer them, you know, and just try to get them to that point, because it seems like they feel that the pressure is like, okay, well, I have an STD, so now I got to somehow, like, go around with a scarlet letter on my chest,
right,
saying, you know, big old
It's H definitely like the new scarlet letter.
And that's not the way it is. You can choose who you tell and when you tell.
Right.
But you have to be clear about what it is that you're going for and how you want that message to get out there, and recognize that hopefully whoever you're talking to respects you enough to not share your information.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel like they may not respect you, then that may not be somebody you want to date.
Mm-hmm. And going back to respect, I think, you know, sex is something that's not even valuable anymore. Like, we don't hold it up as, you know, high of a value as we used to back in the day. You know, look at, like, how TV was when our parents were coming up. Like, and I Love Lucy. They didn't even share a bed as a couple on the show. They slept in separate beds. So, you know, and sex was so taboo. Like, you know, you don't want to be fast. You want to wait, meet you a nice guy, get married, blah, blah, blah. That's when you have sex. But nowadays, sex doesn't have a lot of value. Like, we don't hold our genitals at, you know, at the gold standard,
sex,
in my opinion.
Sex, no marriage, no love. None of that has
right,
a lot of value.
Right. Love, like, love is almost never involved when it comes to sex and whatnot. But when I went, I posted this question on Facebook, and I asked, you know, what advice would people give someone with an STD who wants to date and find love? Ms. Johnson said, date someone with the same STD, especially if it's the killer.
Mm.
Wow. And I was like, what's the killer? She said, you know, HIV, AIDS.
That,
I was
that house in Virginia.
House in Virginia. Shut up. I've never heard anybody label it as such. House in Virginia.
It's a whole lot of folks in Virginia feeling salty right now.
Right. So, Janelle Marie, have you heard that one too? Because a lot of people said, you know, they need to find somebody who has the same STD and deal with it that way.
Yeah, that's an approach that people use who are newly diagnosed a lot of times, because there are, like, positive dating sites. So
yeah,
you're positive,
like,
for this, you're positive for that.
Yes, positive singles.
Not necessarily a bad approach, because yeah, exactly. Positive singles, and there's one for every different kind of STD. There's all sorts of private Facebooks and, like, pages and communities out there, support groups, blah blah blah. And they're fantastic. It's a good approach, too, for, like, getting your feet wet, getting back into the dating game after recently being diagnosed. But I certainly don't think that you have to exclude yourself.
Yeah, because I was saying, like, I don't think you need to limit yourself to somebody who has an STD.
No,
like,
now I can only be... Right. You certainly do not. You're not just segmented to this part of society now that you can only... date in this pool. That's just like saying that only black people can date black people.
Exactly.
And only blonde people can date blonde people. Like, that's just, and again, it's ignorance. And I get where they're coming from, because, oh, then you're not infecting someone else or something strange. But it's just lack of information is where that kind of opinion comes from, I think.
But
it is a nice approach, though, if you're just starting to date.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You have been recently diagnosed.
But can't you?
That's not the worst thing to do.
Can't you, like, change the strain, I thought. Like, I was told, and I could be wrong, that if you are positive and you date someone who else is positive, you can still
change the strain.
Like, you,
that I don't know, but no, I'm gonna have to cut you off real quick because I can't believe I didn't realize it was 11:30. So we have to go.
I'll try to answer that when we come back.
So Janelle Marie, hold that thought. You know, want to ask you asking if we can change the strain. So I've never heard of that. I don't know. Maybe somebody else knows. But yes, keep it right here on the flow. We'll be right back after commercial break.
Verizon Wireless is head and shoulders above the others.
It's the best network. No question about it.
Without a doubt, they are the number one network.
You heard it, and people all over know it. Verizon Wireless is America's best, most reliable wireless network. Maybe that's why more people stay with us than with any other national carrier. Just listen.
It's reliable. It's always been great. I started with Verizon Wireless from day one, and I've never thought about going anywhere else.
I'll never switch. I'll never leave Verizon Wireless. It's awesome.
We spend over $4 billion a year on our wireless network, all so that you get the most reliable national coverage.
They have the most reliable network.
Their coverage area is huge.
It's reliable. It's the best. It's definitely the best.
Isn't it time you switched to America's number one wireless network? Isn't it time you got the best? Just stop by any Verizon Wireless communication store, Verizon Wireless at Circuit City, or call 1-800-2-JOIN-IN. Network claims based on Verizon Wireless reliability studies. Loyalty claims based on publicly available customer turnover figures.
Verizon Wireless, number one. Hands down, no contest.
Dimes are shiny and round. Nickels are also round.
This 28-year-old woman may sound a little strange to you and me, but to her 3-year-old daughter, she makes perfect sense.
Pennies are round, too.
They are. Dollars are rectangles.
I like dollars.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Are you tired of the same songs every 20 minutes?
Now, here's something else we might try.
Real Radio is back. Right here on the flow. Brought to you by Alumni Roundup. And brought to you by the IAMFO Radio Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the State is Over Radio right here on the flow with your host, Miss Marie. Also got the Bako in the studio. What's up, the Bako?
Hey, what's good?
We got Janelle Marie on the line. Hey, Janelle. There. We have Yada in the studio.
Yep.
And we have Dr. Gray in the studio. And before we went to break, the Bako had a question about changing the strain of your particular STD. Now, I have never heard that before, but is that what you were asking?
My question is, like, if you have a partner who is HIV and you're also HIV and you guys have sex, you know, unprotected, is there any effect, any side effect? Can that do something or mutate the HIV that you have?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's a great question. Yep, totally. You can't mutate the strain, but there are different strains of HIV. So that's also along the line of like the gal who said, we'll just date someone else with HIV or date someone else with herpes. With HIV in particular, there's multiple different strains, so you can get infected with a different kind of strain. So you need to know which strain of the virus that you have. Same with herpes. If you have HSV-1 and you're dating someone with HSV-2, your risk is lower because you already have the antibodies in your system. 80 to 90% of people by the age of 50 have the HSV-1 antibodies. So then if you're dating someone like who has the HSV-1, like the oral cold sore antibodies, the risk is a lot lower of contracting HSV-2, but you can have HSV-1 and HSV-2. There are cases, but it's not as common. It's quite uncommon, in fact, to have both strains of HSV. However, with the HIV virus, you can contract multiple strains at a time. So that's important if you are seropositive, if you're dating someone with HIV as well.
Well, let me go back on to the comments that we got in one of the Facebook groups. And because the question was, what advice would you give someone with an STD who wants to date and find love? And Curtis said, honesty is the key. Sierra said, use protection, let your partner know. And then she also said, tell them to just dry hump. Really, Sierra? Really? Just dry hump? What kind of satisfaction? What am I, 12 dry humping? No, ma'am. And going back to what I had asked a question, because a lot of people are saying, you know, date somebody with the same STD. I was asking if they should limit themselves to dating, you know, a person with STD. And my buddy Jason, friend of the show, Jason Otley, the relationship, what do you call himself? I forgot what he calls it. The relationship architect.
Architect.
That's what he calls himself. And he said, limiting themselves to dating people with STDs, they shouldn't do that. Not any more than any than people who are sinners should only date sinners. He who is without sin cast the first stone.
True.
Brandon said, there are happily married people I've met all over the country where one partner had an STD before they met. Many STDs are curable now and most are highly treatable. Full disclosure on the first date is insane, as you don't even know the person yet, and sex shouldn't even be on the table. It should not. It should not be on the table at all. But I guess I'm going back to my conspiracy theory. I'm thinking about Chris Rock, because something, a part of me believes that like all these STDs have a cure, but like he was saying on his comedy show, it's no money in the cure, the money is in the treatment. So Yada, do you actually think there are cures for all STDs, or is that just a conspiracy theorist that I'm, you know, I have, you know, I'm the conspiracy theorist over here?
No, I don't think you're alone. I think there is a cure. I mean, you're telling me as far as we come in technology today that you can't kill this virus, you know, but I mean, money's the bottom line for everything.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm with you on a conspiracy theory tip.
What about you, the Baker?
I've got to have more faith, and this is going to sound crazy seeing how we might have a shutdown on the first, but I've got to have more faith in our government that they would not do that to us. If I don't have that faith, then I might just move to like Canada, because that's insane.
I want to have faith in my government, but at the same time, the syphilis thing and
the Tuskegee experiment
oh, yeah. Well, and stuff that has gone on. You know, I have some faith, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know. But I'm going back on Facebook and it says, you know, somebody else, Cameron said, find someone else with an STD. Websites for STD singles exist, so it's not as if resources aren't available to salvage whatever kind of love life an STD leaves room for. Damn, salvage? What kind of love? Like, you can't, like.
Sounds like a shipwreck.
Right, like you're not worthy of being loved. And actually, somebody said that in the group. Yeah, yes, we have a Facebook group. This guy, he said, because I asked him, you know, say same scenario I gave to Yada, like if you met somebody that, you know, pretty much met all of your qualifications except she had an STD, you know, would you get with her? And he said, absolutely not. And he said that, you know, people with STDs are not worthy of being loved. I was like, well, damn.
I didn't say absolutely.
No, not you. Okay, not right. You. No, the guy on in the Facebook group, he was like, no. Because I dodged a bullet. I gave him my scenario. I said I was with my ex-boyfriend for like 3.5 years. And we were supposed to get married. And I could have gotten an STD from all his shady dealings. He was throwing that peen left and right to all these different women. So I would have, you know, had an STD, you know, if he had one. If he had contracted one. So does that mean that I'm not worthy of being loved?
I don't even think it. I mean, that, it doesn't matter how you got it. Like, I don't think it matters how you got it. We all make mistakes, and we can't be... The STD itself is punishment. You have the punishment for the mistake that you've made. Mm-hmm. You have to live with it for the rest of your life. So for someone to say that you have STD and you can't have any type of happiness or love, it sounds preposterous. That person is an A-hole and needs to kill themselves.
Damn. Really? Really? Jump off the Brooklyn Bridge? So, you want to tell him to kill himself?
That's
don't do that, sir.
That's so, like...
We will not... No.
Like, so, like, the person who robbed the bank, like, they're okay to be loved, but the person who stole all the money from the people's financial accounts, they're okay to be loved. Because I slept with somebody one time unprotected,
oh, because I got raped, or I got on my parents,
regardless of how I did it. If I made a bad decision, I made a bad decision. But we make bad decisions every day, honey, that don't have as a long term effect as this does. But why does that why does that take me out of the pool of people who need to be loved and who are worthy of just being loved?
I think people are real quick to just kind of put some of these attitudes and ideas out there without really thinking about the implications that they have and what they're saying and how they would feel if it was them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I try to change the tone of the conversation, because I'm like, okay, what if some of our parents have STDs and we don't know it? Like, what if that was your child? Like, a lot of people have children. Like, what if your child comes home and says, hey, mommy, I have AIDS, or hey mommy, I have herpes, or I have HPV, whatever. Like, how are you don't want anybody to treat your child differently.
Right.
You don't want them to say, well, get away from me, you have cooties or whatever else. You want them to experience love the way that you have experienced love and have healthy sexual, or maybe I don't want, you know, nobody wants to think about their kids having sex, but at the end of the day, you do want them to have healthy sexual relationships. So, because you can't protect them, you're not going to be in a room with them while they're getting it on. So
hope not.
Right. No. Yes, honey. Lift your leg up. No, I do not want my parents in the bedroom with me at all. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a virgin to my parents, okay?
Girl up.
As far as they know.
My mom thinks I'm saving myself for marriage.
But it also changes when I asked the question. I said, you know, what if it was a celebrity that you had a crush on? What if it was Halle Berry? What if it was Paula Patton? What if it was Justin Timberlake, Alicia Keys, or whoever you liked? Then people were like, you know what? I might take that chance.
No.
Uh-huh. Mm. It's the psychology of disgust is what we're forgetting here. And Dr. Gray might have some insight into this. But the psychology of disgust reads that things are disgusting inherently to us to protect us. So like rancid meat or mold on food or whatever, that's something that's ingrained in us naturally to protect us. So when you're thinking of it outside of that, but when you get intimate with someone, when they research the brain and they research people who are being intimate and sexual with one another, the psychology of disgust goes right out the window. And that's because we're naturally like programmed to procreate, and that love and that reward outweighs the psychology of disgust. So there's like actual scientific research about this, about when you're in this relationship and really into someone, how your perception changes. But it's easy to say, oh, these people are disgusting and they should only date so-and-so and they should go jump off a bridge, you know, all of these horrible things, because they're not in a relationship with them, you know.
Right.
They're not perceiving that. They're only perceiving it from the outside, and that psychology of disgust is active.
Yes, because things change.
Very present.
When you're in a relationship with somebody, totally. Once you get somebody and to know somebody on an intimate level, your feelings change completely. You know, certain things that I say, oh, I would never accept this from a man in a relationship. If he did X, Y, and Z, I would leave. And then I got in that situation, I'm like, oh, damn, I love him. What do I do? So I think that's the same situation when it comes to, like, once you get to know somebody who might have an STD, like, once you get to know them as the person, they are not their disease. Like, know them as that person, then your feelings will change. Of course, I would still be scared. I'm not going to lie. Like, I would still be afraid, but I think I would probably be more open and more receptive to, you know, like, how can we have, you know, a successful and genuine relationship, and how can we have healthy and safe sex?
Well, that's part of how that psychology process is supposed to work, though. It's supposed to motivate you to get educated, to learn more about how we can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, yeah, you can fear, you know, mold or whatever, but that's not supposed to keep you out of that space. Like, hey, well, what do I do to clear out the space so that I can make it a livable thing? So, in
people
the same
ain't scared of mold. Half of them got mold in the shower.
Well, indeed, but that's, you know, that's a benign example. You know, when it comes to relationships, it's supposed to be like, I mean, you know, you can look at somebody and be like, well, you know, I really don't like that they do that, because you don't understand it. But then when you get to know them a little bit better, when you start to understand what their process is, when you know a little bit more about their background and how they came to that situation, it really does change things. But it happens because we take the time to try and actually learn what is going on with that person. And that's where things really have slowed down and stopped, where in this instant society that we live in right now, it's like, oh, what is presented on the surface is reality, when in actuality, there is so much more.
It is so much more. It is so much more. People, take your time. Do it right. Take your time. Get to know that person. But we got to go to break, so keep it right here on The Flow. You can give us a call. 301-560-6992 is the number to the studio. You can tweet me at Date Is Over and hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover.
Coming up next is a really funny guy. You all know him. Let's give it up for Alonzo Bowden. Alonzo!
So my uncle calls and he says he's dizzy and he's losing his balance. I'm like, Unc, you want me to take you to a doctor? He's like, no, I'm going to look up the symptoms. I said, your symptoms are you're dizzy and you're losing your balance. So he said, I can't get on the internet because my arm is numb. I said, well, use your good arm and dial 911. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of stroke, don't call family, don't dial a friend, don't wait because it might be too late. Dial 911. Time lost is brain lost. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Verizon.
You're listening to The State Is Over Radio right here on The Flow with your host, Miss Marie, alongside The Baco.
Yo.
And we're coming to you live from the I Am For Radio Broadcasting Network on rocktheflow.com.
Make certain you tune in each and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on The Flow. You can also download the TuneIn app to listen for... that wasn't pleasant at all in my ear. Like I was saying, you can download the TuneIn app to your mobile device, search for The Flow, and we are the very first station that pops up on the list. And save us to your favorites, so you can check us out every Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also keep in contact with me. My email address is info@thisdateisover.com. You can post your bad date stories on the website, thisdateisover.com. And I got like 45 social media accounts. I can't keep up. I can't. It's just too much. I have Instagram @dateisover, Twitter @dateisover, Facebook, facebook.com/thisdateisover. So there is no excuse for you to not be able to contact Miss Marie. But you just heard music from Zoe featuring Cy Smith, and the song was Driving. I love that song. But we also got Dr. Gray in the studio.
Hey, hey.
Yada, single and mingling ladies. Hello. No yes, kids, sir. Two jobs.
Yes, sir.
And we have Janelle Marie on the line from the STD Project.
So, hi, everyone.
We are wrapping things up because I can't... It's almost midnight already. Wow. Time sure flies when you're having fun. But I'm happy to know that... I guess it's a hard way to phrase that. But there are a lot of people who are having... successful relationships who are living with STDs. So I'm happy that, you know, people are finding love and, you know, that have STDs, because everybody needs love. You know, of course, you know, there are a lot of people out there who don't believe that, you know, that I think once they get to know that person, they will feel differently. But before we head out of here, you know, any final words from you, Yada? You know, you're single and mingling, and you know, any last words about the topic? I have an STD, now what?
I mean, I think the most important thing that people should take from this is to get educated about it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I learned a few things myself tonight. You know, I think that's the main takeaway for me, just to get educated about it, especially if you have an STD and you want to date. You know, it's things you can do. And even if you're dating somebody that has an STD, you know, just get educated. There's some things you can do in that department as well. So, yeah, my takeaway is just get educated about the whole situation.
What about you, Dr. Gray?
I think my thing is, don't be afraid to talk about it. I mean, your life yes. isn't over with an STD, but you've got to be willing to talk about it. And, you know, if you're talking about having a long-term relationship, you're going to have some tough conversations. So, in some ways, this is practice. But the more you talk about it, and maybe not necessarily sharing it, but the more educated you get about it, the more we're willing to have conversation about these taboo topics, the easier it'll be to deal with later on. So, don't be afraid to talk.
So, the BACO. Lube. lube and more lube
and dental what is it
dental dams. I can't believe that dental dams are so difficult to find.
I've never seen one.
I've seen one. I think I might have one. Never class. Used it, but I think I have one.
Saran wrap. Right. Yeah, about saran wrap.
It's easy to find.
Yeah, right. Just get saran wrap.
That's right in your cabinet.
But I agree with the good doc over here. You have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. And I'm always a proponent for getting tested. Please don't have sex, you know, orally, anally, vaginally, without getting tested. Just get tested.
Yes. And, you know, I hate that, especially in the Black community. Like, we are so afraid to go to the doctor. We don't want to have those difficult conversations. But I'm just like, you got to do it. So, Janelle Marie, I'm going to pass it to you. Any parting words? And thank you for joining us, by the way.
You guys had great advice. Oh, it's been my pleasure. Yeah, I would say if you don't have an STD or think you don't have an STD, remember that the most common symptom is no symptom whatsoever. So the only way to know is to get tested, like she said. And then if you have an STD, you just found out, you're living with one, advocate for yourself. You are your best health advocate, and you are the person who's going to care about yourself. So get educated, and that will help strip away the stigmas and misconceptions so that you are not embracing them and you are not defining yourself by your infection. Your character has nothing to do with this new infection or disease, and that is not you, does not have to define you. So advocate. Learn about it so that you can understand where the stigma comes from, and then help erase those stigmas, and so you know that that's not true. You can move forward and be happy.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you so much to all of our guests. Appreciate you guys joining me this evening. Thank you to all the listeners. Keep in mind, you can keep in contact with me, like I said earlier. info@thisdateisover.com is my email address. We're on the air each and every Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on The Flow. That's rocktheflow.com. You can also check us out on TuneIn. We're on the TuneIn app. Search for The Flow, the first station that appears. But going back to tonight's topic, I have an STD now. What? My last words, what can I say? I just echo everybody else's remarks. You know, take your time. Get to know a person. Like, don't be so quick to jump into the bedroom with somebody. I mean, but if that's your thing, hey, I understand hormones can overpower us at times. And, you know, if Idris Elba walked in here right now, I think I might just pass out. And I think my underwear might just fall off. But, but
I can't even talk about
right, that. Right. Like, if he walked in here right now, I think I would, like, faint and fall in his lap. Like, but let me get serious. Let me get serious. But on a serious note, like I said, take your time. Get to know that person. Get tested, please. And what do people actually do? Clinical dates? Like, do people do dates at the clinic nowadays?
I mean, you can go get some Chipotle afterwards.
Right.
Like,
go make it a date. Go to the clinic together. Get Chipotle afterwards.
Like, for real, that's all you need to tell me.
If you can have some fun with it. If you can have some
right,
fun
make
with it.
Make it fun. Make it a date. So, yes, clinic dates. That, you know, we should make one of those. Like, this date is over.com clinic date. We should do that.
You know,
that
would we be all cool. Get tested, and then we're going to go to Chipotle, get some chips and guac.
I love me some chips and guac, honey. But anyway, so like I said, get tested. And also have compassion. Have compassion for people who have STDs, because they were once people without STDs. You know, some of them might have been born that, you know, with an STD because they got it from a parent, but a lot of people weren't. So have some compassion. They are human beings. They are not less than you. They're not icky and nasty people. They are human beings. So if that was your family member, your friend, or any, you know, close relative, you would want them to be treated with respect, and you want them to have, you know, healthy, loving relationships. And for people with STDs and people without STDs, be honest. Be honest about your status. Don't get somebody with the okie doke and tell them after the fact, like, oh, by the way, I know we just had sex, but I have XYZ STD. And that was actually somebody actually had that happen to them that took the survey, that they found out after the fact that
might get you stole.
No, yeah, that might get you more than stole. Yeah, but
I try to keep it like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But you might get harmed physically, even though I don't condone violence, but that might get you harmed. But anyways, that's our time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to chatting with you guys next Sunday, 10 p.m.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye-bye.